will be presenting to you a part of my dissertation research on the potential of two plants for phytoremediation of arsenic-contaminated soil. As we know, there are sources of arsenic contamination, and natural sources are one, such as parent materials of soils and atmospheric deposition. Also, agriculture is a contributor. The application and runoff of arsenic-containing pesticides in crop production can cause a source. Industrial, the production of these arsenic-containing pesticides, and also waste for mining activities. Natural disasters, the prime example here in New Orleans, the Hurricane Katrina floodwaters contain 30 parts per billion of arsenic, which is three times the maximum drinking limit allowed by the EPA. Also, problems associated with arsenic exposure are the ingestion of arsenic-contaminated drinking water. Bangladesh is the prime example. Exposure to arsenic-contaminated soil can cause indirect injuries to wildlife as well as wildlife habitat. Human health effects of prolonged arsenic exposure can be skin cancers, skin lesions. That is the most outward sign of a prolonged arsenic exposure. You can have reproductive abnormalities such as low birth weight and birth defects. Also, neurological disorders, the intellectual impairment during child development. Why did I choose this research? I chose this project because I have a background in agronomy, and I'm very interested in the environmental applications of agronomy. The goal of this study is to evaluate the potential of two plants, the Liptis palustris, also known as the marsh fern, and Asparagus sporangi, also known as the asparagus fern, for use in the phytoremediation of arsenic-contaminated soils. My research deals with phytoremediation, which is the use of plants to clean contaminated environments. The advantages are there's the low cost, minimal environmental disturbances, and the mechanism of phytoremediation focused on in this research is accumulation, also known as phytoextraction. Phytoextraction is the accumulation of stored toxins into the above ground parts of plants. Here is a picture of the two plants used in this study, the Liptis palustris, that's the marsh fern, Asparagus sporangi, also known as the asparagus fern, but it is considered a pseudo fern. These plants were chosen because they have various habitats. They're easily propagated. There's limited information in the literature review containing their ability to accumulate arsenic as well as their tolerance. The asparagus fern has been reported to tolerate up to 1,200 parts per million of arsenic. The marsh fern was focused on because of the recent discovery of the arsenic accumulating fern by Dr. Ma and associates at the University of Florida. Also, objectives of this study are to confirm if arsenic accumulation even occurs in these plants, to examine the effects of arsenic exposure on plants, also to evaluate the oxidation state of the accumulated arsenic. This is very important because the chemical state of arsenic within the plant tissue is an indication on how the arsenic is moving within the plant. The hypotheses of these studies are all plants will accumulate arsenic, and morphology and growth will be altered after arsenic exposure. Arsenic 5 would be the dominant species of arsenic found in the roots. Arsenic 3 would be the dominant species of arsenic found in above ground parts. This is an example of the small scale hydroponic study done for the marsh fern. You have 12 plastic pans in a randomized complete block design, 4 replications, 3 treatment levels of 0, 250, and 500 parts per billion, and they received 2 weeks of exposure. Treatment levels for this and other studies discussed were achieved by the addition of potassium arsenate to the hydroponic solution. Also, I conducted a randomized complete block gravitational fed hydroponic system. Again, you see we have the same treatment levels of 0, 250, and 500. Under the bottom, this represents each blocking system, and 1, 2, and 3 represents the number of plants that were in each treatment level. Also, again, here for the asparagus fern hydroponic study, it was the same, is the same setup as before for the small scale marsh fern study. Analytical methods used on this study are inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometry, and it was done to determine the total arsenic accumulation in plant tissues. Also, scanning electron microscopy was used for the assessment of morphological effects of arsenic exposure. Also, Zanes, X-ray absorption near egg structure, a form of synchrotron radiation, was used to determine the species of accumulated arsenic. Also, from the ICP-MS data, we determined bioaccumulation and translocation factors. Bioaccumulation factors are the ratio of metal in the concentration in the shoots to the metal concentration in the exposure media. The translocation factor is the ratio of metal concentration in shoots to the metal concentration contained in the roots. Data analysis was done by Microsoft Excel and Nova one-way tool with replication. Also, Microsoft Excel and Nova one-way tool without replication. And LSD 5% alpha, Microsoft Excel 2 sample Z tests were also performed at 5% alpha. And Athena extended X-ray absorption fine structure software was used to analyze Zane's data. Now we'll talk about the results for the marsh ferns. As we can see, that arsenic did accumulate in the roots. However, marsh ferns exposed to 500 parts per million displayed a significant difference in accumulation than the control plants and plants exposed to 250 parts per billion. After 2 weeks of exposure, and insects destroyed the top part of the previous experiment, so we had to repeat it in order to evaluate arsenic accumulation in the fronds of the marsh fern. And we see that 500 parts per billion had the highest mean bioaccumulation factor. And there was also no significant difference in the accumulation of arsenic into the frond. Now we can look at the morphological changes in the spores of the marsh fern after arsenic exposure. Here we see A, controlled plants. You see healthy spores. They have a smooth outside layer. When you look at B, which is exposed spores, they have a very puckered appearance to them. Also here, we're looking at the cross-section of the vascular system of the marsh fern after arsenic exposure. A represents the healthy plant, B represents a plant exposed to 250 parts per billion, and C represents the plant exposed to 500 parts per billion. And as you can see, the plant exposed to 500 parts per billion had the most damage to the vascular system. Now we look at a comparison of the standards used for Zanes and the sample spectra for the marsh fern oven dry roots. The green line is an indicator of the total energy. And on this axis, we have absorption, which is the amount of energy that is released upon the sample becoming in contact with the electron beam. And we can see that here, arsenic 5 would be the dominant arsenic species in the oven dried roots, because the energies, the green lines, match. For the asparagus fern, I found that fronds exposed to 250 and 500 parts per billion were significantly different from the control. Also, accumulation in the fronds were found to be significantly different from the root accumulation, and that's indicated by the asterisk going across the row. So you compare the arsenic fronds here to the roots here, and then you can tell if they were significantly different or not. Here we looked at the morphological changes in the vascular system of the stem of the asparagus fern after exposure. A is a healthy plant, B is exposed to 250 parts per billion, and C is exposed to 500 parts per billion. Again, we see that plants exposed to 500 parts per billion, the vascular system sustained the most damage after exposure. Also, we saw some changes in the stomata of the asparagus fern after arsenic exposure. A represents a healthy plant, B represents an exposed, and as you can see, the stomata looks raised, and this could be a possible indication of the alteration of the process of transpiration. Here we have the species of arsenic in fresh young asparagus fern roots, and we see that we have here again, we have the absorbance here, and this is the energy. Here we will look at the blue line is the mean, and then you have the linear combination in this graph. And the linear combination basically, overall, what percentage does each standard play in contributing to the overall total arsenic speciation in the plant. And we can see here that the linear combination matches arsenic zero. So here we would say the arsenic fronds contain arsenic oxidation state of zero. Implications of this study are that the Thalipsis palustris marsh fern has the potential to be used for phytoremediation in areas contaminated with low arsenic levels. Asparagus pharyngi, they do not exhibit a potential for phytoremediation, but their potential in phytostabilization should be further investigated. Conclusions. The Thalipsis palustris and asparagus pharyngi will accumulate arsenic into their above ground parts. Arsenic exposure does affect the plant health and causes an alteration of morphology in these plants. Arsenic 5 is the dominant species in Thalipsis palustris roots. Arsenic 3 is not the dominant arsenic species in the above ground parts of asparagus pharyngi. Thank you for your time, and this is everyone that has helped me with my project. Are there any questions? Yes.
Like when you give the scanning result from a microscopy of the leaf, look in the stomata, like did you find the arsenic on the surface of the leaf?
No, we didn't. Well, I didn't do that. I know what you're talking about, but that was not part of my project. We actually freeze dried these plants and cross sectioned the leaf. And then we actually looked at just the structures of the vascular system, the cell. Well, we actually look at the cross sections of the cells here. That's what we look at overall. So actually we thought we saw some deposition of arsenic, but that was not what it was. It was some xylem and phloem that had become frozen during the freeze drying process. And so, no, we didn't find any inside of the vascular sections. No, we wouldn't find it on the surface of the leaf because arsenic becomes bound, well, it's theorized that arsenic becomes bound to the vacuole inside of the plant. So you wouldn't just find arsenic sitting on top of the leaf. In theory, you shouldn't find it. Well, no, I did not do the vacuole study. I just looked at the vascular system to see if the structure of it had been altered. So, no, I didn't get in depth as to go to the vacuole.
Yeah, I think there was a question back there. Just take that first and we'll take
Excuse me if I didn't get the earlier part of your presentation.
Did you use an arsenic contaminated salt, or that's why you have arsenic accumulation in the control of the Well, actually, all this was done by hydroponic studies, and we evaluated the control because we wanted to see what background levels we should see in a controlled plant. So it just gave an idea. Yes, this was a hydroponic study. The control didn't receive any arsenic in the hydroponic system. It had straight DI water. That's what it had to avoid. Yeah, that's probably because we had to order these plants from a different supplier, and it's possible. That's why we looked at the background, because we had to order them from a supplier from out of state, and they collect out of natural stands. So it's possible that plant could have been exposed during the time it was growing in the soil medium. So that's why we did look at it.
And I think that question was related to this comment about possible infestation of the leaf tissue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you have an environment with arsenic contamination, you're growing it, you could have some infestation on the external surface.
Yeah, if we were looking at it from an atmospheric deposition, then that's possible, but because we fed it arsenic contained hydroponic solution, we shouldn't see that. So that's why we didn't see any deposition on the leaf.
Okay, I think we're out of time. We're right into lunch, but do you mind me just asking a question afterwards? We'll adjourn for an hour and return at 12 o'clock for a lot more discussions about that.
Thank you.